Electron is a Greek name for amber. In the 3rd century BCE, the natural philosopher Theophrastus observed amber's static electricity, a power of attraction, which he likens to a magnet. He also describes the curious substance lingurion, which shared amber's powers. Indeed, it was simply the stone by another name. Some say that it not only attracts straws and bits of wood, but also copper and iron if the pieces are thin. Lingurion was supposedly formed from lynx urine. Better when it comes from wild animals rather than tame ones, and from males rather than females. Theophrastus's On Stones remained a source for lapidaries until the Renaissance, and the formation of lingurion a popular fixture for illustration. William Gilbert was the first to give a name to an electric force in De Magnete, published in 1600, where he proposed that the Earth is a giant magnet. Building on the work of Theophrastus, Gilbert documented the origins of amber and its performance in a series of experiments. Amber comes for the most part from the sea and the rustics collected on the coast after the more violent storms with nets and other tackle. It is the seawater that firms it, thinks Gilbert, for it was at first a soft and viscous material that permitted the entombment of the flies, grubs, gnats, and ants now shining in eternal sepulchres. Through his exploration of electric force, Gilbert came to understand the nature and limits of amber's static electricity and its power relative to other substances. Amber in a fairly large mass allures if it is polished. In a smaller mass or less pure, it seems not to attract without friction. In Gilbert's time, the principal source of amber was the German state of Prussia, which controlled the southern Baltic coast. Here the stone had been central to power plays of a political rather than a geological kind. For centuries the region had been the monastic state of the Teutonic Knights, a bellicose, acquisitive order formed in Palestine in the 12th century. In 1230, the Teutonic Knights were invited to engage in a northern crusade to convert the pagans of old Prussia. By merciless use of both sword and gibbet, they subdued the Prussians and, as was their wont, took control and expanded across the region. This is prime amber territory, and in taking old Prussia, the Teutonic Knights also took control of the lucrative amber trade and its routes to Rome, Athens, and Constantinople. Laced with tiny bubbles, most amber sinks in fresh water, but in the brine of the sea, it dances, half suspended in the waves, when loosened from its ancient sub-aquatic bed. Until the 19th century, seaborne amber was so plentiful that no one thought to mine it. Why bother when the stones arrived in the shallows or washed onto the beach? The Teutonic Knights entered the gem trade with all the charm and equanimity they had brought to baptizing old Prussians. They set up strict rules for collecting, carving, and dealing. Apprehended smugglers were hanged from the nearest tree. The destiny of this brutally controlled material was rosary beads, devotional images, and carved saints. Trade was brisk and profitable, for throughout Christendom no price was too high for a rosary strung with lucent amber beads. Once the healing antiseptic sap of ancestral pine trees, amber is petrified but retains its chemical composition. To qualify as amber, tree resin needs to polymerize, a transformation that can take millions of years. The oldest retrieved amber dates back to the Upper Carboniferous about 320 million years ago. Colors range from blood red to a milky white caused by tiny air bubbles. Evocatively named varieties include fatty amber, foamy amber, and cloudy bastard amber. Dabbed with alcohol or acetone, true amber will not become sticky. If it's susceptible to solvents, the substance you're holding is merely hardened resin, copal. As its German name suggests, Bernstein, it takes a flame keenly. Rubbed, amber releases a resinous aroma, a sought-after quality for handheld amulets and rosaries. For those in the business of graven images and devotional accessories, the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century was disastrous. But by then, the Teutonic Knights' powers were already weakening. In 1525, under the influence of Martin Luther, the knight's grandmaster Albrecht converted the monastic state into a secular principality, became a Lutheran, was granted the title Duke of Prussia, and married a Danish princess. The remaining knights either followed him into respectable matrimony or left for Rome. The amber was still there, washing onto the beach, the legacy of long since migrated ancient forests. The Teutonic knights left a legacy as well. In 1699, Frederick III, Elector of Brandenburg, Duke and later First King of Prussia, discovered a huge cache of amber in Königsberg Castle, former seat of the Grand Masters. He commissioned the sculptor Andreas Schluter and a Danish master craftsman to construct him a chamber lined in panels of the rich, honey-coloured stone, which would glow like summer sun in the Baltic winter. The amber was treated, warmed, oiled, manipulated, moulded, and set into panels, though the craftsman never worked out a satisfactory means of securing mosaic to wood. There were arguments, sackings, and incarcerations. The chamber was never completed and was placed in storage after the king's death.